accession number 12213, Reel 1.
Captain Gatehouse, Reel 1. Could you tell me, please, what you were doing when war broke out?
I was at Camel Laird's, the shipbuilders in Birkenhead, standing by HMS Trident, which was one of three T-class submarines building at Camel Laird's. It is perhaps of interest that I was one of only three officers out of 15 who were standing by these three T-class submarines who did not go to sea in Thetis that fateful day when she was lost. In my case, Trident, we lost our captain, first lieutenant, and engineer officer. And, of course, we immediately got replacements. We completed and left Camel Laird's in October 39 and went down to Blockhouse in Portsmouth after we had completed our sea trials. From there, we were sent on patrol off the west coast of Ireland, an anti-U-boat patrol, because, as so often happens, we started the war where the previous one left off. And there was an idea prevalent at the time that U-boats would be using the Irish headlands as navigational marks. In fact, we never saw anything. And in due course, went to Rosyth, where Trident was based until I left her in July 1940. During that period, we did one patrol off the North Cape. Which was with the purpose of endeavouring to find out whether the Russians were giving the Germans any assistance in the form of allowing them to use their ports. It was a completely blank patrol. We then patrolled off Norway and the Kattegat, and we were not very far west of Oslo when the Norwegian campaign commenced on April the 8th. And in fact, we were one of the first submarines to sink a German ship before the campaign started, as we were naturally outside Norwegian territorial waters, and a large German tanker passed us, flying the German flag, and we surfaced, stopped it with our gun and sank it with a torpedo. It turned out to be one of the German tankers bound for Narvik in order to refuel the German destroyers which arrived there after the invasion had commenced.
Have you any specific memories of that sinking?
We were, in fact, somewhat lucky to sink it, because the captain allowed the German tanker to go by, and it was not until the first lieutenant said to the captain, and I was in the control room and heard it myself, "Are you aware, sir, that you are letting a potential armed raider go by?" And the captain took the necessary action to stop the ship, and we sank it.
Is there any possible rational explanation for his hesitation?
No, certainly no rational explanation. He was the sort of chap who was not particularly offensively minded.
What was the quality of the crew that you had on the...
Well, of course, in those days, they were all pre-war long service ratings. Although I remember there were one or two reservists. Who had been called up. They had either done 7 years in the Navy and 5 on the reserve, or else they'd done their 12, as it was called. And, of course, having left the Navy before the war, were subject to recall at the outbreak.
What other memories have you...
Well, after that patrol, we changed captains, and we got a very much more offensively minded captain. And about the only other piece of action that at this stage I can remember is that we went into Sogne Fjord, S-O-G-N-E, where we remained for 48 hours. It is a large fjord, and it was perfectly feasible to proceed up and down by day underwater and then lie stopped on the surface at night, recharging our batteries. And during that period, a fairly large German merchant ship, that's to say 5,000-6,000 tons, was steaming north in what were called the leads, which were the inshore passages of the Norwegian coast, and we stopped her with the gun and drove her ashore and put a torpedo into her. And if I remember correctly, the name of the ship was the Hugo Stinnis. Stinnis was a fairly large German shipping line. Then in July, ...1940... I left Trident. Perhaps we better go back to the outbreak of the Norwegian campaign, because many years later, I discovered that we received a signal telling us to enter Oslo Fjord. And I never saw the signal. As I said, it was many years later I discovered this. And we did not go into Oslo Fjord, which perhaps is one of the reasons why I'm here today. After I left Trident, I did, as was usual then, a spell of 3 months as first lieutenant of an H-class submarine. And then I left her and became first lieutenant of HMS Triumph under Lieutenant Commander Wilfred Woods, who later became Commander-in-Chief Portsmouth. We went to the Mediterranean almost immediately after I joined her. We spent rather a long time at Gibraltar, a matter of about 6 weeks, as a long stop in case the French Navy tried to break out of the Mediterranean and go to their West African possessions, their West African ports. However, we eventually passed through Malta and arrived in Alexandria, where we were attached to the depot ship Midway. And I can remember we arrived at the time that the army was being shipped to Greece for the Greek campaign. I did several patrols in Triumph, which ranged from being off Sicily to being off the North African coast. And in the latter case, we sank the Italian submarine Salpa, which on one bright sunny morning suddenly surfaced about 400 yards from us, and we surfaced and went to gun action stations and stopped her and then put a torpedo into her. And I can remember quite distinctly that the Italian submarine endeavoured to man its gun, but obviously the gun's crew got orders to come down below. And I can remember a man running along the casing and climbing up the bridge and going below, and I suppose a matter of about 30 seconds later he was dead. As they all were, of course. There were no survivors. We also did a patrol off Benghazi, where we fired a torpedo through the harbour entrance, which hit an Italian merchant ship called the RAN, R-A-M-B. In June 1940, we were off the North African coast.
1941.
We were off the North African coast. And I can remember it was night time, and exactly what we were doing I can't remember, except that we had an Italian battery open fire on us, and one shell hit us right on the stem of the submarine. With the result that we had to go to Malta for repairs in the dockyard. And there I left Triumph. I went home from Malta to Gibraltar in Seek, which was a tribal destroyer, and from Gibraltar to the Clyde, I went home in the Pasteur, which was a seized French liner manned by Cunard, and we went home with the Renown, just the Renown and ourselves, at 24 knots, with a whole flotilla of destroyers escorting us. One of the amusing interludes of that voyage was that I was among a collection of what were known as unattached officers, and at lifeboat drill we used to fall in opposite a lifeboat that wasn't there, and I remember the first time the staff captain arrived and he addressed us and said, there are 2,400 souls on board this ship. There are lifeboats for 1,000. When the ship leaves us, you will have the privilege of remaining behind with me. After arrival home, and I suppose some leave, I did my commanding officer's qualifying course, and then I went off, as again was the custom, for 3 months in command of an H-class submarine, which of course was not on operational duties, but only training duties.
Just going back to the Mediterranean, how did the operations in the Mediterranean compare with Norway from your personal point of view? Which did you prefer?
Well, I think really I preferred the Mediterranean because the weather was finer. And once the Norwegian campaign was over, there was a great deal of offensive action for submarines in home waters. There was more in the Mediterranean.
Did you all feel satisfied with the successes achieved in the Mediterranean?
Oh, yes. Triumph went on, after I left her, to a very successful commission, except for the fact that, unfortunately, she was lost on her last patrol before coming home. But Lieutenant Commander Woods had left her by then, and the captain was a chap called Johnny Huddard. She was lost, we now know, in the Gulf of Athens, off the island of Hydra, and almost certainly mined.
Do you have any specific memories about that attack on the ram?
Well, no. You see, as first lieutenant, one was responsible for keeping the submarine in trim, and you were not part of what one called the attack team. It was naturally the captain and the navigating officer who kept a plot, and the fourth hand who worked what was known as the fruit machine, which was a elementary hand-worked computer which gave you estimates of the enemy's speed and so on.
What is it like being based at Alexandria?
Well, that was very nice. Medway was a very comfortable depot ship. She was sunk about a year later when the fleet left Alexandria, when Rommel arrived at the gates of Egypt. One did about 3 weeks at sea and about a fortnight in harbour. And there was the entire Mediterranean fleet there, plus, of course, this French squadron which had been interned.
Did you have anything to do with that?
Nothing at all.
So, what time would you have returned to the UK, did you say? Which month would it have been?
Oh, I suppose it was July 41. And then, as I say, I must have had some leave. I did my 3 months in my first command, and then I was appointed commanding officer of HMS Sportsman, which was an S-class submarine building in Chatham Dockyard. I suppose I went there in about October 1941.
To being before or after Christmas?
Now, I did my perisher, which probably took me up, that's my commanding officer's qualifying course, which took me up to what must have been about the end of 41. And then I had my first command in the first half of 42, and I can't remember the month, but I must have been in Chatham Dockyard for 3 months at least, standing by HMS Sportsman, and we left Chatham Dockyard in December 42 on completion. And we went round, first of all, to Blockhouse, and then up to the Clyde, to HMS Forth, which was in Holy Lock. And from there we did what was called our working up patrol, which in my case was off the North Cape. And the principal thing that stands out in my memory for that patrol is that we had the foulest weather I ever experienced during the whole of my time in the Navy. It was a completely uneventful patrol, and we returned to Holy Lock and then in about March 43 we left for the Mediterranean. Operation Torch had taken place, and the Dipper ship Maidstone was in Algiers, to which we were attached. And from there, I did about 4 patrols before we went to Beirut. During those patrols, I sank a number of ships, of which I remember one was the Ajaccio Marseilles ferry, a Vichy Frenchman. The General Bonaparte. And she was escorted by an Italian flying boat and was in a sinkered site area. So I sank her.
Can you remember the details of the attack?
Well, I can remember I fired 4 torpedoes, of which one hit. And, of course, sank her. About the only thing I can recollect today is that after I'd hit the ship, she must have sunk extremely quickly, because I can remember that all that was left of her was one very overcrowded life boat. Not so long afterwards, a German frigate, which in fact was a captured French one, arrived, but caused me no trouble, because she'd obviously been sent to pick up survivors and not to look for me. Many years later, I discovered that a Frenchman was endeavouring to get in touch with me, because there were about 90 children on board the General Bonaparte, and I assumed that he wanted to be as unpleasant to me as he could be. But fortunately, the authorities in Portsmouth